Hey, New Life Gillette Church, we are thrilled you decided to listen to our teaching on your favorite podcast app. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, would you let us know by visiting yes.newlifegillette.com? Here is this week's teaching.
I want to start today by talking about joy. This is the time of year coming out of winter when it's kind of like we're just waking up, you know, that feeling like the sun comes up and you're like, oh, we're still alive. We made it through. Like, good job, everyone. Patting each other on the back. We made it through another winter. This is an easy one, but you kind of always get that kind of feeling going into the spring when you live in Gillette in Wyoming. So I think it's important for us in these seasons to remind ourselves of good things that God has done, of the good things that are coming. Think about things that we have reason to have hope about. You know, I know there's a lot of people in our congregation this year who experienced loss or pain, or they had diagnoses. Is that how you say it? Diagnoses. Family member issues. And so a lot of times when these hard things happen, our tendency is just kind of look down, feel a little more somber. And if we do not have an intentional moment at which we choose to look up, to move on, then sometimes we can just kind of live in that space. And my invitation to you is this: look up, choose joy. Joy for most of us does not just happen accidentally. For most of us, it's a decision, because life happens, life beats us down, life brings problems and anxiety, and naturally our tendency, this is why 24/7 news media does so good, is because they kind of feed into that fear and anger and frustration, and naturally we have a tendency to kind of fall into that trap of just living in that space. So I think it is valuable for us at times to just choose, okay, from now on, I'm moving forward. I'm going to move on past the things that have happened, past the past. I'm going to stop letting it drag me down. I'm going to celebrate the good things that God has done. And I'm going to celebrate that He has a plan and who He is making me and what He is making me into. Have you ever noticed how good news can so quickly become old news, right? It's not like it's not good anymore. It's just, it's old news. It already happened. It's in the past. So it's hard for me to celebrate something that happened in the past. It doesn't seem as good when I'm past it. Maybe I prayed for something for a long time and I asked God if I could have that boyfriend or girlfriend, and that's more difficult. Or I asked God if we could have a kid, or I asked God if we could have that new house or that new job or whatever it is. I asked and I asked for it. And then finally I got it. It didn't come exactly like I had envisioned, but I finally got it. And then move forward a couple weeks and I just forget about it. It's just, okay, now that's the new life. Now I got a next thing I'm asking for and looking forward to. Sometimes it's valuable for us to remember the good things that God has done in our lives to help us move forward, so that the good news does not become old news. 2020 for most people was a terrible year, but for the Chiefs fans, you know, I had cheered for the Chiefs for decades of failure. And that's enough hissing. Until in 2020, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Guys, glorious things happened in 2020 that we remind ourselves of, that we celebrate. It was a big deal for me, and it should not have been as big a deal. I shed tears when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. That's dumb. That's ridiculous. But I did. And I loved it. Like, it was a big deal in my life. And then, 2 years later, we won again. And there's a celebration. And a lot of excitement. I didn't shed tears this time, but I'm still very excited. And then this year, guys, just keep winning. This year we won again. And it was good. But it's just kind of old news, you know? I mean, That was a little bit harder, but now you just expect it, right? This is just how things are. The Chiefs just always win the Super Bowl. It's not a big deal. It becomes old news. Good news can become old news. What for this year for Christmas, my extended family all met in Galveston, Texas, and we went on a cruise together. And I'd been dieting for months leading up to this cruise to get the beach body for the cruise, you know? And achieved anyway. So get on to the cruise, and what is the first thing I do when I get on the cruise? Eat. Straight to Guy's Burger Joint. Double cheeseburger, all like barbecue sauce and onion rings and French fries. Like I put the fries on the cheeseburger, yes. Like, and I ate, oh guys, glorious, glorious. That night for dinner, pasta, chicken Alfredo, breadsticks, dessert. They had this peanut butter cheesecake, guys. So good. And I shed a tear. No, I didn't really. It was so good. Have you ever been on a cruise before? This is what you do on a cruise. You meal to meal, overeating to overeating. If you want to hit up the pizza joint in between meals, just go for it. All you can eat ice cream anytime you want. This is what you do, especially on our cruise because it stormed the entire time. The whole top deck was just flooded on the whole cruise. So what do you have to do? You can't go up to the swimming pools or to the water park or to the basketball court or anything like that. So what do? You sit downstairs in the cruise ship, swaying and fighting off the sickness with food and more food. And we ate and we ate and we ate. It was horribly awesome. Until the last day comes and they have this big like send-off breakfast right before you leave. You meet in the dining room and they bring out this menu and it's like all this fresh food and awesome breakfast. And everybody's ordering their food. And do you know what I ordered for the big last breakfast? Nothing. I didn't eat a bite. I was stuffed. I was sick. I was tired of food. I just didn't want any more. I had overdone it. And I didn't eat a thing. So what on the first day was this glorious menu of heaven? On the last day, I want nothing to do with it. What was such great news in the beginning became not just old news, but like bad news by the end. This is the way we live our lives. We just go from high to high to high, searching for the next high. If you've ever been addicted to anything, you got addicted to it because in the beginning, it gave you this great high. But then you just were chasing it all the time. You could never get back to that first high. So you just kept trying and you needed more and more and more to try to feed the habit and try to get more and more and more out of it. And it just could never do for you what you wanted it to do. It just became old. It didn't do what it used to do. When Jesus was on earth and he was talking about what it meant to be one of his followers, it was revolutionary. People came from all over the world, thousands of people to come hear him preach because they were amazed by his words, by his teachings. Today, you have access to those words, those teachings in the Bible. You can read them at any time, but sometimes we read them just like, I know, old news. I've gone to Sunday school. I got that stuff. That's just our entire society, our culture is built upon the teachings of Jesus. You look at the success of America, and it is largely because it was built upon some foundational truths of the Judeo-Christian ethic that was all created because Jesus Christ comes to the earth 2,000 years ago and says some revolutionary stuff. But it can become old. When Jesus was talking about what it is to follow him, he used this word. He used the word gospel. I grew up around, most of my friends when I was growing up were black, and I always just thought gospel was a type of music. No, actually, gospel is the word that Jesus used to describe his teachings, his way. Gospel is a word that simply means good news. You know, all the other religions in the world, they preach bad news. You compare the Christian message to the other messages, and it's almost like the Christian message seems too good to be true. It's like, I shouldn't follow that one because it's too good. Like, it seems like some greasy car salesman is selling me a load of something that I shouldn't eat because that just sounds too good to be true. The Christian message is so unique. It's so beautiful. It's so perfect. It is good news. And what's the good news? Here's the news. It's not up to you. The good news of the gospel is it's not up to you. All the news of all the other religions is you better be good enough. You better try harder. You got to do more good things. The news of the Christian message is God was good for you. God was good on your behalf. He carried the burden for you. Last week, we were talking about this disagreement between the Apostle Paul and the other apostles about how much law they should enforce on the Christian church. Should we require the Christians to obey the Jewish laws in order to be Christian? And Paul starts writing to the apostles. He's like, what? How'd you lose your minds here? That's not the gospel. Obey the law is not the gospel. Remember, it's good news. The good news is Jesus obeyed the law for you. He was perfect because you couldn't be. And so we pick up the story there where the Apostle Paul is writing to these other apostles, and he says, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. And hear this. Rather, this is mind-altering. I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. What is Paul calling sin? Paul is calling legalism sin. Trying to be good enough, trying to obey the laws, trying to do the right things, trying to earn salvation, that's what he calls sin. I used to live my life to try to be good enough, to try to be a good person by obeying the law, Paul is saying. I used to live to glorify me by being good. Now I live to glorify God because he is good. So I died to the law. He continues. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements. So that I might live for God. I have to stop trying to meet the law's requirements so that I can live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, or no longer I'm not following my agenda, but Christ lives in me. My old life, my old agenda, my old behaviors have been crucified, and now it's all about him. This verse is not talking about trying harder to be a good person. This verse is talking about Christ's goodness and him giving it to you as a gift. I used to try to be good. Now his goodness is imparted to me, is given to me. I am good because he is good. So, I live in this earthly body by trusting. How am I good? What makes me good? How do I become the person I was created to do? How? By trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You are a child of God because of him. If you put your faith in Jesus, you are a child of the one true King. You are a victor. You are destined for heaven. You can be confident of your salvation. His promises are yours. His victory is yours. His inheritance is yours. His goodness is yours. Do you care? Or is it old news? Is that just the way it is? Okay, cool. Have we moved on? Are we beyond this conversation? Or is this still worth celebrating? Is this still worth giving ourselves to? Is this news still good enough to lift our heads, to move us on past who we used to be? This one's for you, teenagers. Never let the gospel get mid. Did I get it? Is that right? No cap. You were on a cruise to hell with no hope because you couldn't be good enough. And now you are on a journey to heaven. You were a slave to the Satan, and now you are a child of God. Get this. And someday you will reign with God for eternity over the whole world. The president of the United States will bow to you, sons and daughters of the one true King. Jesus Christ bringing his kingdom to us. He says, I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, as mid, as old news. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to come. If I could be good enough to get to heaven, then there's no need for Christianity at all. If I could be good enough, then you all should be worshiping me, not Jesus. So how does it work? So what do I do? Imagine that you're in a doctor's office, and the doctor walks in, and he's got a somber look on his face. And the doctor says, Mike, you have cancer. It's operable. We can remove it, but you have cancer. And in that moment, you have a choice. You can allow your pride to get in the way, and you can think you know better than the doctor, and you can say, I don't believe you. I'm just going to keep going. Or you can believe the doctor. But does believing the doctor that you have cancer cure you of the cancer? No. It's a big first step. It's a necessary first step. But just believing that you have cancer does not cure you of the cancer. What actually cures you of the cancer? You have to put your faith in the doctor. And you do that by laying down on the operating table and letting him cut the cancer out of you. This is the way Christianity is. You know, this is a complicated conversation because the definition of our word believe is different than the definition of the Hebrew and Greek words believe. Because that when they heard the word believe, it involved much more following, involved much more obedience, more surrender. We think of belief as just an intellectual assent. Okay, I accept the fact that you are God. When the Bible tells us that we should believe in God, it's much more than just believing God exists. It's about putting our faith in him. It's about laying yourself on the operating table and letting the doctor cut the cancer out of you. It's about laying your life on the altar and allowing God to cut the sin out of you. This is the gospel message. Let me do it. Let the expert do it. Let God do it. Let him perform the surgery. Believing that God exists does not save you. Putting your faith in God because you believe in him is what saves you. God saved you by his grace when you believed. When you believed. Not because you believed. That was like the initiation. It was the necessary first step. That's not how it happened, that's when it happened. Even the demons believe, Scripture tells us. But they choose, as a result of their belief, not to put their faith in Jesus. And this is exactly what we do when we try to be good enough to earn heaven. I don't put my faith in your goodness, I'm putting my faith in my goodness. I believe you exist, but watch me work. I believe you exist, but watch how good I can be. Watch how much sin I can remove from my life. Watch how many good things I can do for other people. And who gets the glory? Me, because I did them. But if I put my faith in God, if I trust in Him, then He does the work through me. The truth, the good news truth, is that only God can save you. And this is unique to Christianity. The rest of the world, all the other religions, everybody's religious, whether they want to admit it or not. They just submit to a different kind of religion. All the other religions are in the ladder climbing business. It's all about showing how good I can be to get a step up on everybody else. There are 2 billion Muslims in the world. And the Muslim faith will teach you, Islam will teach you, that if you will pray 5 times a day, that you will give, if you will give the right offerings, if you will fast at the right times, and if you will feast at the right times, if you will give your life to a holy cause, and they create this, all these rules that you have to follow. And if you follow these rules correctly, then eventually you will become one with God. You will go to this place they call the Garden of Pleasure with God if you climb the ladder. And what do you do when you climb a ladder? You look down on everybody else. Look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. Look how good I am. My pride builds with each step. And I look at everybody else. And I judge people, and then eventually I start to hate people. Because I worked so hard to get up here, and you lazy people aren't willing to do what I did. And I become angry, and I become hateful. I start to hurl accusations. I become what Jesus hated most. I become a Pharisee. When Jesus is on earth, what is he attacking most? The whole world is criticizing him because he's surrounded by drunk people and by tax collectors and prostitutes and all these other sinners all the time. Yet when Jesus attacked sin, what is usually, not always, but what is usually the sin that Jesus is attacking? It's pride. It's this Pharisaism. It's this idea that I am better than everybody else. That's the sin Jesus attacked most. Then you've got 1 billion Buddhists in the world. And the Buddhists, they have a different message, but it's pretty much the same message. Their message is that, well, if you will obey the 4 noble truths, if you will meditate, if you will empty yourself of all ambition, you better not have any agendas. You better not have any goals. If you will empty yourself of any desire of any kind, if you will do all of these things, then eventually you will reach nirvana. It's works. It's a works-based religion, like all of them. Then you've got 1 billion Hindus or other Eastern religions. And theirs is similar, but a little bit different. Their idea is that if in this life you are really good, then you will reincarnate a step up on the ladder. You will come back as a better person, or as a more wealthy person, or as a better looking person. If you live a good life that time, then you may reincarnate as somebody even better, like a Chiefs fan. Moving up on the ladder. But if you live a bad life, you reincarnate as a Raiders fan. Whatever, you could take a step down. If you're bad in that life, you may come back as a cat. Well, you don't want to be one. You like cats? Yeah. Can you imagine just living in that kind of unknown? Is it going to be good? Am I good enough? Did I work hard enough? Did I obey enough rules? You want to talk about bad news? If you tell me that my future in the next life is determined by my actions in this life, that is terrible news because I'm screwed. Or at least I think so. I'm not sure. I never actually have any faith. I never actually have any confidence. It's all, my life is just full of doubt. And if you think it's just unique to like the official organized religions, that's not true either. Because you ask an atheist, what is the purpose of life? They're going to tell you the exact same thing. They'll tell you that the purpose of life is to be a good person, to hand off good genes to the next generation. You should help little old ladies across the street and be honest on your taxes and recycle. And then you'll die and that's the goal. That's your whole goal. Sounds like bad news to me, but that's the message, right? That's the message of the whole world. In fact, that message creeps into the church all the time because we are tempted to believe it. Our sinful nature wants that news to be true. I don't know why, but that's how it is, because you see it in the church. It creeps in. Some of you have seen that we've been getting a lot of negative feedback recently on Facebook and protesters and people saying different things in different ways about the fact that we allow sinners to be a part of our congregation. When I saw that the last time, I was like, yeah, that's kind of like the whole point. The reality is, if you came to New Life because you heard that it was a church that was welcoming to sinners, welcome to the club. Now, what we do believe is that we come here not so that we can just be comfortable in our sin. We come here because we believe that our only hope to growth, our only hope to becoming the person that God created us to be, is if we are in relationship with Him. Because it's not us who does it. It's not my good behavior that makes me a better person. It's my relationship with Him that makes me a better person. Because in a relationship with Him, I have laid myself on the operating table and He is changing me. He is healing me. He is recreating me. He is making me the person that I was created to be by removing sin from my life, by giving me new gifts, by giving me new goals and energy and peace and hope. But it's because I'm in relationship with Him. I don't do those things so that I can be in relationship with Him. So the idea of a church rejecting people because they're sinners has nothing to do with Christianity. The idea of a church rejecting people because they've done a certain sin that we categorize as worse than the other sins is exactly what the Pharisees did. And we have to run from that temptation. If we are going to resist the temptation, as Jesus taught us to, we have to choose to recognize that we are all sinners, every one of us, in need of a Savior. We are all lost people who need to be found. We are all sick people who need a doctor. And when we are in relationship with God, then He heals us. Then He grows us. Then He matures us. Not because of us. Not because of our goodness, but because of Him. Paul says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? How have you lost your way? How have you forgotten? For the meaning of Christ, of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of His death on the cross." Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. So what did Jesus do? You know, the object or the goal for our faith, you like my bobblehead Jesus? He does bobble. It works. This is bobblehead Jesus. The goal of the Christian faith is unity with Christ. That's our big goal. That's what we're trying to achieve. That's what we're trying to get up to. I want to figure out a way that I can get to heaven, that I can get to live with Him, eternity in relationship with Christ. That's our goal. So the question then becomes, what is Christ's plan to get me up there? What is the way, the means that Jesus is going to use to get me up there with him? He's not. Jesus' plan is to come down to us. We can't get up there. We have no way. We're not strong enough to get up there. So his plan was to come down to us. And Jesus Christ comes from heaven to earth, lives the life that we could not live in our place, does the things that we could not do, gives to us the goodness that we could not earn, and gives us the good news. And he gives us the gospel. And then he dies and he goes to heaven, but then he promises, just wait, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back to you. And when I come, I'm going to bring heaven with me to you. What do you notice? It's all him, not bobblehead Jesus, the real Jesus. It's all up to him. He is the one doing all of it. And our job is to surrender to his way, to repent of our way, to leave our way in the past, to leave our agenda in the past and follow him. The ladder climbing business is done. Because as soon as I get on a higher rung in the ladder, I just look down on you. I think I'm better. There's somebody in the room today who has not yet entered a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're still trying to climb the ladder. You're still trying to do it yourself. You're still wondering if you're good enough. Stop wondering. You can be confident beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's good enough to earn your salvation. So put your faith in him. Believe in him and not in yourself. Surrender to him. You notice in the seat backs in front of you, there's some new cards, pretty new cards. If you're watching online, you've got a new link that you can go to if you want to participate as well. We're calling them Next Steps. And if you do not yet have a relationship with God, the next step that I'm asking you to take today is to check this top box that says begin a new life in Christ. There's no greater, more important thing than you can possibly do in your life. It is the good news that you can spend eternity with God. You don't have to wonder. You can have confidence. So would you fill out that card today and let us know that you're ready? We want to send you some information about some next steps that you can take and drop the card in the back of the room. Then I also want to talk to those of us who've made that decision. And then we've gone on a journey in our lives of growth, of maturing. God has pruned us, removed sin from our lives. And when that happens, we can often fall into the temptation of beginning to become prideful, like the Pharisees did. Beginning to think that we are better than others. And pride comes before the fall. That will lead you so quickly to falling down the ladder. Don't allow pride to creep in. Don't allow yourself to become judgmental. Don't see people who are still living in their sins and have any disdain for them. Allow your recognition of sin in somebody else's life to evoke in you a feeling of sadness for them. A sadness that causes you to want to share the good news with them. Because we've put our faith in Jesus, and we believe that if they will begin a relationship with him, then he will change them. He will prune them. He will sanctify them. So we invite them to put their faith in him. That's what faith is. I trust you and not me. God, I thank you for your gift of grace. God, for those of us who have been resisting the pruning process, for those of us who have been resisting you changing us and molding us and maturing us into the people you created us to be, God, I pray that we will be more surrendered to your lead in our lives. God, for anybody here today who has not yet entered a relationship with you, has not put their faith in you, God, I pray that you would give them the courage to do it right now, not to put it off, that today would be the day that changes their eternity. God, I pray that you would make us great witnesses of your good news. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.